Rodgers in the pocket. Wide open, and the catch is made at the 29 by Amari Cooper. Now Prescott throws, and it's going to be caught in the end zone by Amari Cooper. Touchdown.
You know what they say, week one is for victory laps. We're going to be doing tons of them. Welcome to the first in-season terrestrial takes ever, really, as I only did one State of the Union halfway through last year. Starting us off on the right foot, I think, with that. Amari Cooper is a wide receiver one, but we'll get to that. Let me welcome in Tim at Nubs, double N, double B. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Not much.
Interesting first week of the season. I think I went like 500 in my leagues this week. I lost two leagues in the overtime of the Raiders and Ravens game. I lost one on the Edwards non-touchdown. I lost another one on the Lamar fumble. That's so overtime tough. Did not pay me very well.
I won quite a bit of DFS money because I did a fourth quarter showdown for that game. And it was close, and I ended up pulling third, winning $90. I actually won $100 total. DFS, something that I'm going to be doing more often. I kind of dug it. Maybe I liked it a little too much. I think I like sticking with the one game, one quarter stuff. The full slate, there's a lot, you know, that can go wrong. But I have a couple picks for DFS. But, I mean, let's just start it up. Week one started off with a great Thursday night football game. We had the Cowboys losing to the Buccaneers, 31-29. I picked the under in that game, unfortunately. It was a bad take. I was expecting more of a running and defense type of game, but I did think the Cowboys would cover, and they easily did. But more importantly, Amari Cooper is our wide receiver one, the wide receiver one. And I mean, all formats, really, unless you play like stupid formats. But yeah, we got a great game out of him, out of Dak, out of CeeDee Lamb. Biggest takeaway, I think, is Evans, though. Evans, was he not healthy, or was he just not good? He is good. He's not good.
I think he only got six targets. And to be honest with you, it might just be, I think a lot of it has to do with like how the NFL seems to evolve a lot. And it could just be the fact of the types of throws Brady wants to make are just more suited for Godwin and Brown. I'm not saying that Evans has fallen off or that he won't hit 1,000 yards or whatever, but I feel like it's going to be more difficult if Brady's not trying to target him in the spots that Evans is most successful.
Mike Evans is actually somebody I really like in DFS this week, but we'll get to that in week two. I don't think we're going to talk about every single game. Just, I don't know. We don't even really have a show sheet. We're just kind of going over our biggest takeaways from week one, our biggest thoughts going into week two. Justin Herbert didn't have a great game, but I don't care. Don't bench Justin Herbert. If you benched him for Tannehill, you were just as worse off. So I love how it was bench Justin Herbert. You should definitely, if you have a suitable backup. Yeah. I mean, if you have Patrick fucking Mahomes in one quarterback league, yeah, sure. Go bench Justin Herbert. But Keenan did his thing. Mark Williams did his thing. Fitz. That's what Fitz is hurt. Heinicke. What do we think about him? What do we think about the Washington positional players?
Heinicke played pretty well last year. I don't know if he's going to amass the stats, but if it requires the volume of passing, if that defense for whatever reason doesn't show up, I think that we could see a pretty decent stat line. But I think it does bring down those positional players, especially the receivers. It's going to be difficult if they're going to change their focus to just play more ball control and control time of clock or time of possession on the clock. So,
yeah, I'm not huge on Heinicke. I don't think this is good for his positional players like F1. I've obviously been the F1 hater, but I was just trying to be realistic. If I was seeing, is his F1 QB proof? Like, I think realistically, he's QB proof. I just burped. I don't know if that'll pick up, but if not, if it does, that'll be funny too. It's just that he won't be able to get as many targets and as many quality targets. Like, you're hoping for his touchdowns to go up this year and whatnot. And having a worse quarterback doesn't help him. Like, I think he's good enough to do what he does, and he's QB proof in that way. But you're all hoping for the ceiling this year, and that I think he'll be fine with Heineke. But I think a big part of his stock was having Fitz and that offense being good. So I just don't think it's good for anybody. But I'm not panicking. I mean, there's tons of games to get to. Chiefs and Browns, that was like the juggernaut of the day. Interesting game. Baker, no touchdowns. He didn't have a great fantasy day, really. But I thought the Browns were good. The Chiefs are just the Chiefs, you know. I obviously took the Browns money line. I was hoping that they'd win their first opening day game since 2004. Didn't happen, but it looked good for a long time. Looked real good. Chubb didn't look great in that game, but he got his two touchdowns, and he's another one that I love this week against, was it Houston?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, I'm just bouncing around from game to game. You have anything on the Chiefs-Browns game?
I feel like we were robbed of a finish because of the drop punt. I just feel like there would have been so much theatric play that last 7 minutes, 7 minutes of the game that we just did not get because of the fact that Mahomes wasn't pressed and didn't have to figure stuff out late.
Yeah.
And the Browns really didn't have an issue moving the ball. I know that last Baker pick was bad, but like he was getting tackled by his foot and was just trying to, I would assume it's just trying to get out of bounds. I don't think he was trying to make a play there, and it just didn't work out. Yeah. So like, I don't really want to hold that against Baker too much because of the fact that, you know, you're in probably one of the bigger games of the week one or even first half of the season, and you're just trying to make a play. So I don't really hold that against him. I agree that Chubb was kind of up and down when it came to like just getting things going, but I don't think that he carries at all over to this week or the weeks following at all.
If that's his bad week, we definitely are looking good with the offensive player of the year because he started off with two touchdowns and 80 yards still in that bad game. And I think he absolutely runs house against the Texans this week. I'm like 200 yards, three touchdowns is a disappointment.
I didn't think they'd go for two to start the game, but I do like their ability to then just show another look at the goal line, even with Hunt in there. It's kind of nice because they're proving they can punch it in whenever they choose.
Yep. Bills lose to the Steelers. Steelers just played a great game. Josh Allen didn't look great, but I think they'll look better this week. Hopefully there might be one of my picks upcoming. Najee had some drops, but I mean, it's just a Steeler thing, and it's probably a Ben Roethlisberger thing, honestly, if all these wide receivers keep dropping shit. Then we just have a couple thwappings. I don't know if that's a word, but I think it fits perfectly here with the Cardinals just bringing it to the Titans. That O-line's a problem in Tennessee.
Yeah, it's real bad when you don't see Tannehill being able to just run play action the whole game. Yeah. I mean, I think Tannehill played really well like for the majority of the time he's been in Tennessee. I think he's been QB like 4 in points since he started there. But a lot of that is generated off of play action. And when you can't do that, he looks very pedestrian to say the least.
Yeah, I don't remember the numbers, but I saw the stats of like he had like the lowest play action percentage of the week or something, or it was just significantly lower since Arthur Smith left. And then we had the Saints giving it to the Packers. I mean, how did that one feel to me?
It's tough to watch, but you kind of accept it early and then just look for things that you can be hopeful in, and there weren't very many. Mm-hmm. It's so weird because I'm praying that they go out and sign John Brown, as long as John Brown's not toast. Because
interesting,
I don't think MVS is a legit NFL receiver like whatsoever. His hands are not trustworthy. He's supposed to be a deep threat, and he couldn't even get over top like 90% of his attempts running deep against the Saints.
It's not that hard when you know that's all you can do.
Yeah. And they tried him short and his hands just are not reliable. And I honestly would love to see John Brown come in and just be some sort of calming force in the intermediate passing game and sometimes deep. He probably would get on Rodgers' kind of program pretty quickly. I don't know. This was bad. And I understand that that they're missing like David Bakhtiari and some other starters on the line. But yeah, this performance was just awful.
Yep, it was. It was bad. I'm not too worried yet. I mean, Jameis looked good. Oh, also on the Cardinals, Christian Kirk week has come and gone. He wasn't in anyone's starting lineups. We already know that. Don't put him in your lineups. I don't even know who they play, but you missed the week. It's gone. So
they put Minnesota.
Minnesota. Joe Burrow just gave it to him a little bit. And then we had the Patriots and the Dolphins. Now, this was a game that I watched pretty. It was one of the main games I had on to see how Mac Jones was in his debut, and I had money on the Dolphins winning. They won. It wasn't very decisive. The Dolphins did not look that good. They looked great on their opening drives of the first and second half, but besides that, Tua didn't look great. They didn't really have much going until that last drive where they took the lead, which I'm actually struggling to remember if it was a field goal or not, but the Patriots did not look great. And if that was their best effort, which is hard to say because it was his debut, but I think defensively they weren't great on those on the drives where the Dolphins were good. Besides that, I just think it was just mediocrity across the field on both sides of the ball. And the Patriots put the ball on the ground four times and they won by one. So it's a big win. I thought they would win by more, to be honest, but yeah, everyone was on the Patriots in that game. That was easy money right there.
When you watch the game, it felt like that both, actually, to be honest, that it felt like both teams were going to score a lot more points than they did.
Yeah.
Where they would get in these like mini rhythms, but then it just wouldn't be anything that would carry all the way down the field. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited as hell about Waddle. For a year was the one saying I want Waddle in Miami. And it finally happened where they drafted him. Obviously, I thought it was a little bit too high, but he fits. And I think he's the only receiver right now that puts pressure on the defense. Like, I think that Will Fuller will have a very solid positive impact, even if he doesn't get a lot of production.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think defenses or even cornerbacks are afraid of Devontae Parker. Like, I know he's your wide receiver one on this team, but from what I'm seeing, like, they're completely fine kind of just leaving one guy out there on him. And then if he catches it, he catches it. They don't even really think he's going to do much damage.
Yeah. It was the game for him, and it didn't end up that way where they were trying to limit Waddle down the field and trying to keep it in front of them. So I would have liked to see more, but I thought they looked decent when they had their connection. It looked like he looked like a wide receiver one for your team. Then we had the Rams and the Bears. I mean, that game sucked. It was just boring. It was just a bad game, honestly. I think the Bears just played like shit.
I got to be honest, though. Dave Montgomery looks really good.
Yeah, he looks really good. He did look good. He looked really good. I'll give him that. Ripping him right away from Aaron Donald for a touchdown.
I would have loved to have seen, actually, when the game was out of hand, that they just let Fields play. Like, what are you going to learn from Dalton in that game? All you're doing is giving away plays that you might use at a later date. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Stafford MVP looks pretty good. Kyler MVP looks really good. And then we ended with a great Monday Night Football game, which we went over. Hopefully it went your way. Everything that could have been settled from that game actually went my way. And I ended up like just under 500 in my leagues this week. I mean, that's really about it for recap in week one. There was also the Eagles smashing the Falcons. There were other games that we didn't even talk about yet, like the Colts and Seahawks, but we're not going to sit here and talk about every single game. Bengals, Vikings. But to just finish off on week one, we're going to have a new little segment here where we have best and worst coaching decisions. So let's start positive. What was the best coaching decision from this weekend, Tim?
I would say I'm going to go with the Bengals just allowing their young wide receivers to really flourish. It's nice seeing them have faith in Chase to do some attacking underneath as well as sending him deep, and then really getting confidence into Chase and like his ability to just blow by his defender and show that he can just beast up on the outside. Like, he's showing early he's a true number one.
So involving their top pick into the game plan. Go Zach Taylor.
Yeah, we've seen it where it hasn't happened. As well as I love seeing the fact that Mixon led the entire league and at running back in touches like that. Finally, we've seen what he can do now when he actually gets the touches.
Yeah, he looked good too. My best coaching decision was Sean McDermott at the end of the Bills game when they were down 10. So you needed a field goal, a touchdown with an onside kick in there, or you could do two touchdowns. But a lot of the times you'll see teams bang their head trying to get in for the touchdown. I mean, there was under a minute left in this game and not kick the field goal. And I've always thought you need a field goal and a touchdown and an onside kick. So why not kick the field goal? If you miss it at the end of the game, you're going to lose anyways. You leave more time on the clock. That's the biggest thing is you're going to waste all this time to get a touchdown and still need a field goal. And to score a field goal, you need to be on their 40 or some, like that's a 57 yarder. So whereas a touchdown, you can score it. You can score it from the 1 yard line way back. So with less time on the clock, I would just rather need a touchdown. So I thought that was just a really good decision. Something that I've thought about for a long time, and to see a coach implement it, I thought was smart. I thought it was a good decision.
You know what down he kicked it on?
I think it was second down. I didn't see, but it was second or third. It wasn't fourth down. It wasn't like they were out of downs. He got within to a, I should bring up the actual like yardage and when it was. But what was your worst coaching decision?
I had a few to choose from, but I'm going with Urban Meyer not establishing the run like at all. 16 carries in total for every single player on that team to rush. You're not helping your rookie quarterback out. Now, Lawrence had some bad interceptions. One of them just seemed to like sail. I don't know if he misunderstood the depth that the receiver was going to run, but it just went right over his head. But especially with a young quarterback, and we can see it with Tannehill, how good play action is. Like, establish the run, you know, have them be their best friend. And then you can keep the game closer where they were, was like what, 31 points at half or something like that for the Texans. Like it was over quickly.
Yeah.
I may be thinking total. I know my a friend of mine bet the over on that game. And I think that they were at 31 and a half total.
Yeah. I really wasn't paying much attention. But Urban Meyer with the worst coaching decision, color me purple or shocked or whatever. Surprised. Is that the saying? Color me purple. They kicked the ball first and 20 from the 42-yard line with 49 seconds left. So I love to see that. My worst coaching decision, maybe I'll think of a name for this because I don't like the way that sounds. There's got to be something better. We'll get back to that. I threw this in last second. Is Matt Rhule not throwing the challenge flag. So it's fourth and one. They just got stuffed at the Jets' 4-yard line. Second half, 11 minutes left, 3 timeouts. And so they got stuffed and Matt Rhule is saying, we have a new sky judge. Like you should be able to review that. I shouldn't have to throw the challenge flag. And they didn't, and he didn't throw the challenge flag. So it's fourth and one. Now you have all 3 timeouts and he was pretty obviously over. I know the spot isn't the best play to challenge usually, but, he probably would have had this. And if not, you just lose a timeout. You gather yourself for fourth down and one. No score yet early in the second. He didn't throw the challenge flag. They fumble the ball right there at the 5 and lose possession. I just thought it was a very bad decision. Maybe I'm wrong. People think it's a good idea to just go for it and save the timeout. But throw the challenge flag, dude. I think that wraps up week one. So I suppose now we'll hit the main event, which is week two.
It's time for the main event.
So week two gets started today, most likely, if you're listening later tonight with the Giants going to Washington to play the football team. This is actually one of my picks. We're going to start keeping track of our picks. We're going to pick a game or two. Spreads, money lines, overs, whatever, a betting line, maybe a prop or two if you really like one. I mean, you could go all day and just make a betting show, but we'll keep it pretty simple. I like Washington in this game. Short week at home, good defense, terrible Giants team. I think Heinicke can manage a game. Antonio Gibson's going to be my, oh, I think we got food getting delivered. You might hear my pups barking. Oh, that's my food. I'll be right back. All right. I like Antonio Gibson this week. I have a showdown lineup, actually, where I used almost all my money, not all of it, but I got Antonio Gibson as my captain. I took the Washington football team because I think they can get some fumbles and some tutties off of this awfully, awfully run Giants team. Tyler Haneke, Logan Thomas, maybe get a tutty there. Dustin Hopkins, the kicker, because I was out of money, and Kenny Golladay. So if I get caught with one, who knows how it'll do. But what I feel better about is that this is going to be one of my picks this week, and I'm taking Washington -3. Easy money.
How do you feel about Barkley this week? Where do you have him ranked at?
If I had him ranked, I don't know. I haven't looked at all the matchups, honestly. I mean, he's a lock and load running back. I don't feel great about him, but I think that they'll have to get the ball out of Daniel Jones's hand fast because of the pass rush, so he could see some targets. I kind of liked Shepard for it, but I just don't like anything, really.
What do you think the odds are he busts this week? Like 30%?
65, two-thirds. Yeah, and then there'll be a massive panic because it'll be a long week until. Because then they have the Falcons the next week, though, and he absolutely throws his meat hog around on them.
You know, everyone was saying, oh, the Lions are terrible. The Eagles, or not Eagles, the Falcons look so bad.
They looked really bad. Lions. I'm just mad at the 49ers for giving credence to this negative game script narrative, which will exist a little bit, but not to, I just don't think to the level something, because I just think they are really bad. And do you have anything on that on the Thursday night game, or do you want to get into the Monday night game with the Lions there?
Pretty much feel like you do. You can't really trust any of the Giants right now. And you can be hopeful that Washington starts with some short fields at least. And then you just kind of, depending on who you have, you just are hopeful from there that it's your guy that gets the target. Maybe William Jackson can continue his interception streak and get another one this week.
That'd be freaking sweet. I was just thinking about the Sunday night game. Wow. Oh, my God. That's. Mm-hmm. Man, I just want to get to it now. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the Sunday night game, Chiefs-Ravens. This game's only sitting at 3.5 Chiefs favorites, and I kind of love them in this spot. I know it's on the road, but Ravens, a tough loss, back-to-back primetime games, Chiefs coming in. Maybe it's a letdown spot for him, though. What do you think of this game?
Too many players on IR for the Ravens for me to be worried about the Chiefs giving up 3.5 on the road. Now, if it were week one game, I'd be a little more tentative just because, you know, week one, picking a road favorite can be a little bit of a shock. See Vikings versus Bengals. But I don't feel bad about taking the Chiefs in this matchup.
No, I don't either. They're not on my picks, but I'm just surprised to see it only at 3.5. I would think that the line would just be more. I don't know. I'm going to fire up everybody in this game. I don't think there's anything I'm afraid of. Lamar probably smashes again. How did he end up anyways with all the fumbles? I know it depends on your league. I'm a little heavier in my leagues. It's -4 if you lose the fumble.
I think it's like 17 to 20 you could look at for most leagues.
Okay. I don't know. Which game has your eye?
My favorite game of the week, actually, for making any sort of bets is Niners -3 on the road versus the Eagles. I'm taking a road favorite because I don't think the Eagles are real. I know that I'm one that's lower on the 49ers, but I think pressure is going to really compound issues for Hurts. And there was no pressure last week. There was no defense against them. There was no offense. So he was just out there playing football, where this week he's going to be running around saving himself. And I think we see a little bit different of an offense.
Are you taking the spread?
Yeah, I'm going to take Niners -3.
Okay. Niners -3 at the Eagles. I'm going to fade that one. I'm not going to pick against you, but I'm going to fade that one. I don't like the Niners. I hate Kyle Shanahan. I hate how they let Detroit come back. I hate how he's so freaking in his head about his ego all the time, just lying to be like, oh, they're going to think I'm so smart. Oh, Kyle. Oh, wow. You benched Ayuk. Oh, you're so mysterious. Oh, Elijah Mitchell went for 100 and you're going to bench him this week. Who's he going to have to go out there? Oh, he's so mysterious, that Kyle Shanahan. Fuck you, Kyle Shanahan. You're not mysterious. You're just a douchebag.
I don't think you have to trash Ayuk publicly. It could easily have been that he's out because we didn't feel comfortable with his hammy. You don't have to be like, he's got to play better in practice, blah, 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 blah. He destroyed in games last year for you. Like, you drafted him for a reason, and he did exactly what you asked him to do. Like, I'm not saying he's doing the same thing or doesn't have an attitude in practice, but the reason why he was held out of the game could have been so different, because what benefit do you have of creating that little mini drama swirl of media around your team? I don't see one.
Because he's so mysterious. Kyle Shanahan. Oh, fuck you, Kyle. I'm firing up my Browns. I think this is the week the Browns go crazy. OBJ is not playing, which is weird. He was a game time decision last week, and now he's already ruled out for week two. I do not like the sound of that at all. Because I thought he could. I know it's the first year after the ACL. You usually like it to be the year after the year. So the second year coming back, I kind of thought he was so undervalued, and I expected the Browns to be good, so I was like, I think he's the one, so I kind of got to be in on him. This is worrisome, though.
I was concerned just looking at the whole profile, where it's going to be 29 when he's actually on his second year back, and then he's, you know, past the value apex, and that's if he even does anything. So I have a couple shares, and I did acquire one cheaply this year. I got an offer out of the blue, Freiermuth in a third, and I took it for Odell. I was like, I'm going to take the risk on it. But yeah, it's not looking good. And you kind of got to just be like, well, is there a time in which I just have to decide that I'm out? And I don't know when that time is, if there is one, and then just where to move from it. Because I feel like the upside of a healthy Odell is something you can't just acquire. But will he ever be healthy again is the question.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. But fire up your Nick Chubb. Like I said, 203 is a disappointment this week. No, obviously not. But the next game that I have the biggest wager on this week is the Bills at the Dolphins. Now, the Bills, I think people are overreacting to how poorly they played. I think the Dolphins are getting a little too much love. They went in as like this big underdog to New England, and I just didn't see it that way at all. They were the better team. So now they're getting, you know, hype like, oh my God, they beat the Patriots. And the Bills were only -3 going into Miami. It moved up to 3.5, and I hate that hook. So I instead just went money line. I loved it at 3. So if you can get it there, I still love that line. But yeah, this is my bet of the week. The Bills go into Miami, come out on top of the division at 1-1, and I'm $100 richer.
I haven't rewatched the Pittsburgh game yet, but from what I was able to capture is that Allen seemed a little bit tentative. Now, that could just be week one jitters, not trying to be he comes out and throws 4 interceptions, and then the news starts, or the tabloids start to talk about, has he regressed? So it could just be that we get through that 1 week, and then he's back to himself, his old self. I actually think that if he is, this could be a pretty high scoring game compared to what we're expecting. Currently it is 47.5. So I think that could hit the over if we get a perfect scenario with Allen attacking downfield again. It was nice seeing Gabriel Davis in the end zone. He's always worked the back of the end zone really well, even going back to college. So I think that's something we could see as more of a staple in this offense. It may limit a lot of the tight end upside because of where they like to work. But we'll see.
The last two games were 59 and 57. So they were pretty high scoring last year. Who knows if that's the case this year. It's just something to keep in mind. But yeah, I think that there's a little bit of overreaction on both sides of these. With the Bills a little undervalued, the Dolphins a little overhyped. And I think there's value on that line. And it sucks that I went to 3.5. It went to 3.5 before I could grab it at 3. But that's a great line that I like to bet. I mean, you're just playing There's no like must start, must sit, or smash DFS plays here, I don't think. I think the main games are you want to hit your Browns. The Rams at the Colts, at Indy, that's that could be a pretty good one with the way that the Seahawks just tore him up. But I think the Bucs at home against the Falcons, I'm firing up Tom Brady and Mike Evans in this game because this reeks of a 3-touchdown game from Mike Evans.
To me, this reeks of a season where Tom Brady could sneakily be one of your top leaders in fantasy, where it's just so efficient.
Where have I heard that before?
He just has places to attack. You know, it's crazy because he has receivers at every level. Now, if you just get a decent run game, this team is so damn good.
Yeah, it's wild.
So good.
I was huge on Tom last year when everyone was, and I was a little off, but he proved me wrong week one. I still think that they eventually slow it down towards the end of the year at least and start running and do D more. But goddamn, man, the volume was there, but Tammy looked good on ropes where they needed to be. Tom is something else. He really is.
He doesn't look 46, I'll say that much.
Right.
He really doesn't. Like, just his throws. He's not like trebucheting them. He's launching them, like delivering them to a point in which he wants to put them, and he looks unlimited.
He's not laboring out there like Peyton was at the end. Like, there's no labor at all. He's just freaking darts. And then I guess from a DFS point, I think the Cowboys Chargers game has to be one of the favorites this week, right?
Oh, actually, I did have a favorite in the Buccaneers game. I like Godwin this week at 6,600 on DraftKings. I think that's a steal because Atlanta is starting to prove they can't cover anyone. And I think Godwin eats just targets again. And then they'll just decide if it's in the end zone or if it's going to be in the middle of the field where he's getting the receptions.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's such pick your. You could probably pick three freaking Buccaneers from this game. Be sitting pretty good. Mike Evans is sitting a little bit lower than Godwin at 61. You said he was 62, right?
Godwin was 66.
Oh, 66, so a lot lower. I mean, my DFS lineup, I guess I'll just go through the whole thing. It's Brady. And then I took cheap Hines, and then I got Mixon for my running backs. Hines against the Rams after Montgomery kind of tore him up. I think they're going to be after Wentz. He'll have to get the ball out. The Colts wide receiver one is Hines probably, so unfortunately for Pittman. I got Chase also because you have the Bengals-Bears. I just thought he was still low at 5,000. Cooper Kupp and Gerald Everett against the Seahawks after Russell Wilson just tore him up. I got Keenan in the flex in that Dallas game, but I'm looking at it, man, I might want to change up or get a second lineup in with just like a bunch of these players. But I got the Patriots as my defense against a rookie Zach Wilson, who I think will be good, but Bill gives him fits all the time. So that's my lineup.
I had a couple guys I liked when I saw. I was just kind of examining prices, and one of them was Kirk Cousins at 6,200. For some reason, I just believe that 50.5 is not enough for Cardinals Vikings in Arizona. There's so many games that are played close in Arizona, and they usually score a bunch of points in the fourth quarter, and I can just see that going over pretty easily. And the Vikings are getting 3.5, and I feel like this game's going to be pretty close. Now, I won't be surprised if my MVP candidate goes out there and just dominates, but I think 3.5 for the Vikings is a safe enough number for me to take it. And because of the fact, I think this is going to be so close. So Cousins at 6,200, I think is a great value at quarterback this week.
Chandler Jones get another 5 sacks this week.
I don't think he's going up against a hurt or just not good anymore Lawan. So I'm going to say no.
Well, actually, let's go there. So Tennessee now goes to the Seahawks. And I mean, that's another game that could be explosive, but does Tennessee struggle again? Has the Tannehill magic run out? Is the Arthur Smith gone? Is that the factor? I was really hoping for a good Julio Jones season, and I was let down week one. Seahawks D looked pretty good against Indy, but that's also Wentz didn't look great. So this is another game that I don't have anybody in my DFS lineup from this game, but it could be one to look at for a second lineup.
I have Lockett in at 7,200. That seems high.
I
just feel like the Titans can't. It's been their issue like for years, is that they just seem to like not be able to cover wide receivers at certain parts. I don't know. Like, yeah, they had a bunch of expatriates come through and they might have played decently for a while, but the secondary has always been their Achilles heel, minus Kevin Byard. So I do like them at 72. I'm actually, there are better games to watch this week, but this is the game I'm most interested in watching, because this would be a real true test to see if the Titans, how resilient they are and what kind of game plan they come in with, because this could really set the tone for their season if they just come out flat and just get annihilated by the Seahawks on the road.
For sure. I'm definitely pumped for that Cowboys Chargers game. That's one that I really want to watch. And it's on at 4 o'clock. There's 4 4 o'clock games this week. A couple of good ones though. I mean, they're all good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
This is going to be a good week of football.
I actually think that Cowboys 3.5 is a fun number on the road too. They might win outright and I wouldn't be surprised.
So I guess we'll go to the Monday night game where I have my last pick, and it's the Packers hosting the Lions. You know, they just came back. My biggest takeaway here is sell Aaron Jones, because the Lions are 1-for-1 in kneecaps with Raheem Mostert. So that might be something to watch, but I think the Lions get absolutely exposed this week. I think the Packers fuck them up. Just fucking fuck their world, dude. Just really give it to them. I don't think that negative game script will be there. I think they shut them down. I think the Lions will suck. I think that Dan Campbell will look like a buffoon. And I wish I could take this game by 21, but the Lions only at 11. That's my pick of the week. Although maybe I'll drop some freaking X-Files music right here.
Well, the over-under and the spread implies that it's going to be Green Bay 30, Lions 18. So that's interesting to look at. I know as a Packer fan, throughout the years, they've always had issues actually like whoever the other team's best player is limiting them in spots where it sounds like that they should just dominate. So I'm going out on a limb, not really, but I think that Swift could have a big game. I'm not sure that this is going to have something to do with the final score, but usually when it comes to just certain dynamic players or just in these types of scenarios that they just go off and the Packers just don't have an answer for whatever reason. So that could be an interesting thing to look for.
Agreed. Not touching this game really with any DFS implications. Even though I just think that the Packers just fuck them up, dude. Any other big takeaways, things you want to talk about for week two?
I'm a true believer in Montgomery right now. I know that you could have backs that are not anticipated to go off, maybe like Hines have a huge week, but I think Montgomery could have a top six week. I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yeah, at home against Cincinnati. He looked good. Against the Rams.
It'll be game plan dependent completely, but if he gets the touches, I think he'll be successful.
All right. Nice. Anything else for the people?
I closed on my house today. So I just have to schedule an electrician.
Nice.
Oh yeah. It's my highlight of the week.
Let's go.
But I just closed on my house. I have to get an electrician in to replace the electrical box. And then I'm going to do some testing with the pool to make sure if it needs any sort of maintenance or work before I go ahead and just kind of get it up to snuff with cleaning and making sure the pH levels are correct. But it feels good to be done with that process.
That sounds sweet. I had a highlight. I didn't write it down and I am struggling to remember it. So I'll just say, you know, my highlight was no traffic on the way home today. It was a nice, easy ride home. I didn't have to flip anybody off or think I had to pull out my 7-iron. So that'll be my highlight. People learned how to drive today. Maybe they'll keep it up for tomorrow. My gripe of the week, though, is Penguin Publishers. You motherfuckers. I'm at the end of Pillars of the Earth, 1,000-page novel. I'm sitting there, the climax, the trial, and Remigius stands up, ready to deliver the bombshell. And all of a sudden, my book skips back 50 pages, and I'm set back 50 pages. And then the next 50 pages are from 100 pages ago, and then it skips forward. So I had to go get another book. But I've never seen that happen. And the timing couldn't have been worse. It was the cliffhanger of all cliffhangers.
I didn't know a book could give you blue balls, but we found a way. Did they replace it for free?
Yeah, they did. They did.
Good.
So I got a brand new book to read the last 50 pages. You got it, great.
I've been dealing with inflammation all week in my ankle, and it's moved around the back of my ankle and it's hit my Achilles.
So
every step feels like just knife in the back of my leg. So I'm waiting for that to go away. Various conversations say I might have gout. So that's bad news.
I'm eating old too now. Much, eating too much meat, dude. That's like rich disease, isn't it? People who were rich back in the day, they like way back in like the 1600s, 1600s, they would eat and have it was like thought of as like a luxurious disease. That's what I'm pretty sure. I read
the fat pale people that lived in the castles that never saw sunlight.
Yeah. I had a gripe. I think my gripe was just Homerism. Oh, my gripe was 3 IR spots. How are you going to have 3 IR spots in a fucking dynasty league, dude? How are you going to do that? Unreal. But then homerism. There was a play in the Dolphins-Patriots game where a guy hit Mac Jones low and they called a penalty for roughing the passer. People were like, what was he supposed to do? I was like, dude, he not hit him low. He took three, like he got blocked and then ran three steps and dove. And Mac Jones was backing away. So he hit him low because he was backing away, but it has nothing to do about intent. You can't hit him low. You're going to get called every time for that.
I got one more.
What you got?
I joined a Yahoo Public League. A friend of mine wanted me to play with them. And we tried to get in a league. And if you're in other leagues together, they don't allow you to. But I already paid my entry fee. And in the first week, we have this guy in my league. His team name is just the letter S, has made 16 moves, all of them to pick up guys and drop them back to waiver. So you can't utilize them this week.
That's so broken. Like if that buy-in was, I would just want to leave that league, but it's like, I almost want to just win it more. I don't know.
I had no waivers in this week, but it's just like, are you serious?
I don't know. I would just keep calling that guy a cunt. Like,
I might actually, he's missing a kicker and a defense. I might just go in and do that with all the kickers and all the defense and just wreck his week and then make him use a waiver on a kicker or a defense coming into the following week and then just do it again.
That's so unbelievably pathetic. Like it's legitimately pathetic. A public league, and he's like, he'll probably do it for like a week or two, and then he'll be bored because he doesn't really play fantasy.
You know, I think I just gave myself an idea that I'm gonna go do that. I don't know if I'm gonna feel good or bad about it.
I love it. Well, you go fuck that guy, all right? I'll sign us off. That's it. That's Terrestrial Takes. That's what you come here for. No reviews, nothing to read there. So get a review in or something. If you didn't like the show, give us a 1-star. Tell us why. That's it. We'll see you next week. Peace.